Welcome back. Or as I like to say for all villages, welcome home. It feels like family when you're here. And I'd like to imagine that maybe, just maybe, we could be together today like family, even through this thing called technology and computers or a laptop, tablet or a phone. But welcome back. Been talking these last few weeks about how to keep walking in faith and not be stuck in fear by doing this, by looking to Jesus every moment, every day, not trying to try to do it from within, not trying to just muster up courage, but leaning on the Lord and saying, Lord, I need you now. I need you more than I need you than anything I've ever done in my life. And I talked last week about how we can endure anything by leaning on his grace and his arms. Just when you think God is all you have, you'll find he's all you really need. Think about that. Just when you think God is all you have, you'll find that he's all you ever really need. And you can endure anything. It's important. It's important that you and I know that there's more to this thing of faith than going to church, than going to a service. This is about God meeting you and me right here, right now, closing that gap, giving us his peace and his presence, doing the deep work in us so we can be his hands and feet and he can do the deep work through us. And so I want to invite you right now in this time to just open up your heart, ask God to give you his peace and his presence. Breathe in deep his breath on this special Sunday, this Palm Sunday. How about that? Next week is Easter. Breathe it in. I believe that we know God most in times of when he gives us and shares with us his great love. I also believe that he lets us experience his presence sometimes in the most painful times, times of suffering. But we can know him and know that he is so much bigger than a building, so much bigger than a disease. He's our Heavenly Father. He's the one who came in flesh in Jesus. And he invites us to be a part of what he's doing in this world. And so I want you to know that when we get together on Sundays, I'm not looking to just kind of fill in a spot in your calendar. I'm not looking to give you a menu, but I'm trying to, with the help of the leadership of the church, the elders and the staff, we're looking at trying to, how do we map through this? How do we navigate through this? And so we're going to be working on creating tools for you to use at home, adapting our service from being in, you know, face-to-face at our campus to being with you, maybe in your living room, putting it even in audio version so you can maybe go on a jog later or ride a bike, that you could be working in the garden and still listen to it on our website, that it's not just about 9:15, 11:15, which we hope you'll join us here every Sunday until further notice, but that you will know that even though the situation is fluid, even though you know that this is just not what we intended, we will be here. All Villages Presbyterian will be here because God's bigger than this. The churches in our community, guess what? God's going to work through them. And praise God. We're so grateful, Lord, my prayer has been, we're so grateful, Lord, for what you're doing in us and what you're doing in other churches. And help us be united. Help the world know how good you are, even in spite of their circumstances. So we're working to adapt. We're working to overcome and not just get through this. We want to grow through this. So I want to talk to you about, continue our reading a little bit with in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 16. Again, Philippians in the New Testament, written by Paul. He's in prison. And what's crazy about this letter is that it's not just that he's in prison and it's just something that, wow, how about that? Fun fact. It's that he writes these words of encouragement, of hope, of trusting in the Lord in spite of where he is. It's no Pollyanna kind of faith. It's no wimpy faith. This is a faith that we have in Jesus that can meet us in our most challenging of circumstances. And so I hope and pray that it encourages you again this morning and that you'll be able to really process it and pray through it. If you've never read the book of Philippians, I challenged you last week to read through it. Take it this week. Read through it. Check into it. Don't be afraid. 4 chapters. I know you can handle it. In addition to that, I want to encourage you to download the Bible app on your phone, a tablet. The reason being is that this Bible app can help you not just read the Bible, crazy idea, but it actually has reading plans, study plans. And so maybe you're struggling with anxiety, or maybe you're struggling with forgiveness. Maybe something just keeps weighing on you about something before all this happened, about something you need to, someone you need to forgive, or maybe experiencing God's love afresh. They have devotionals that are just beautiful, very helpful, and you can actually invite others on there to join it with you and to be a part of it. And so it would be a great tool for you to grow, to be encouraged, and to not get stuck and just waiting for when the church can get back together face to face. But may we together encourage the hearts of others throughout our days. Keep calling people, keep reaching out to people. As just like Paul is reaching out to this church in Greece and saying, listen, God's not done. And keep encouraging, keep seeking, keep trusting, and understand that you can hold on to him because he's already holding on to you. So let's jump into the text and see what he has to say. Paul says this, not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal about, again, being in step with the Lord in every part of your life, knowing that it's not about being perfect, but about being faithful. It's not about having it all together, but about trusting the Lord moment by moment in your everyday. So you're having a disagreement with a spouse or a loved one. We're kind of more in cramped quarters these days. This would be a great example of how, yes, you and I are in direct agreement with this, that this is kind of us. Yes, we've not obtained how to live in perfect oneness with the Lord and how we love one another all the time. And so be encouraged that Paul struggled with this too. Not that I've already obtained all this or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. But I press on. I press on. It's. I'm not quitting. I'm in this to win it, to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I think it's so crucial that you and I realize that it's not just about, again, going through the motions, but it's about us learning moment by moment to trust in the Lord. And it starts with praying. It starts with us humbling ourselves. And it's not hard. Try and say these words. Lord Jesus, I humble myself before you. Just be still and pray that prayer. Is there anything you want to tell me today? You might just have a peace. He might just give you a word. You might think, man, I don't hear anything. Don't be discouraged. It's in that time that maybe he just wants to just spend some more time with you, just to enjoy that moment and be still. But it's humbling yourself before him and saying, Lord, help me. Help me to take hold of what you have been taking hold of me, that you've already worked in me. He goes on to repeat himself, but Paul likes to do that. He wants to make sure they get it. Oh, sorry, let me go back. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Yes, it's individually. Yes, we need to forget our past in that it doesn't own us. It doesn't predict our future. It's about our future is now with Jesus. Our future is now with the Lord and that we can lean into this. There's going to be moments in your life where the Lord's going to bring back something of your past, not to make you feel bad, not to make you feel guilty, but it's something he wants to bring healing to and wholeness. So when he brings those moments back, don't be afraid. Don't shrink back. Lean into it and ask him, Lord, what do you want to do with this? In addition to that, thinking of it for our church, we're All Villages right now is more like a church plant. And I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but we're coming together as in a church that's really kind of starting out. It's brand new for us right now in this season, whether it be in the next 2 weeks, the next, dare I say, 2 months, that we are going to lean in new ways moving forward, straining toward what is ahead. Paul says it like this: I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I again press on toward the goal. I press on to win the prize, not to come in second, not to just kind of fill my days, not to just kind of go through the motions, but no, I come to win. Because Jesus has called me to do this. When it says called me heavenward, it's not just this place I'm going to when I die. That's really, I don't think, what Paul's talking about. Heaven is where God is. And we can experience eternal life, heaven, being with God now. He's calling us to be in step with Jesus now. So you praying for your neighbors, reading your scripture, calling family, friends, calling those in the church family, reaching out and letting them know that God has not forgotten them. That's what we're talking about. That's walking in step. He goes on to say, all of us then who are mature, those who have been walking with the Lord for a while, should take such a view of things, that God's put you where he has you, that it's not an accident that we find ourselves in this, but yet he's going to use it for his glory, somehow, some way. And that's not me making light of the situation. This is a tragic disease, virus that's going around and affecting so many people. But we're leaning in and saying, Lord, we know that you can take even tragedy and use it for good. And so I just pray that you'll join me in that prayer. That when people are hurting and suffering, that we suffer with them and love on them with this, through this. When they celebrate, we celebrate. But know this, that God's not done. That he's using this, and he wants to use this so that we can grow up in him and not just survive. And if on some point you think differently, I like how Paul says this, that too God will make clear to you. It's something that he's trying to say, that, you know, it's not about, you know, having to agree on every little bit of theology, but about saying, listen, it's up to the Lord. He's gonna either reveal it to me or reveal it to you. He's going to show us where he wants us to go. But this is his main focus. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. Let us be the people God's called us to be. Let us become more in step with him, more in tune with him. And when people see us, they see him. When they get a chance to, when they have a moment and they maybe ask you a question, or they reach out maybe on Facebook or through a phone call or a text, you take that moment, pray for them before you talk to them. Lord, bless this conversation, or help me to encourage them. If you need encouragement, maybe pray, Lord, encourage my heart. Help me in this time. With me, please. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Three words I want to share with you today. Three words that I think that aren't new to you, but yet are absolutely crucial for us in this season, in this time. Community is essential. I've been talking about community from the first time we gathered together online, and for years now from our church services. But we need that community. We need to reach out to each other. We need to help others know that we're in this together. And so one way that you can do this is, I know this might be sound like really crazy for some of you, but whether you have an Android or an Apple device, they have a thing called Marco Polo. And it's an app that you can leave video voice messages. Now, if you don't have a smartphone, that's fine. Just, you know, you can just kind of I don't know, go get a new cup of coffee. But if you do have a smartphone, it is a wonderful way to just kind of have some fun with one another and stay connected and be encouraged. You can just play around with it. But it's not when everyone gets together at the same time. It's you just leave a message and saying, hey, this is Dustin. Just wanted to say hello. I hope you guys are doing great and is praying for you today. And you could leave it, you know, hey, check the scripture out or something. But just something short and sweet. And then it'll let them know you've left them a message. And then they can reply back to you, and you can see them. And there's even stuff you can do with your voices. It's crazy. It's some fun times ahead, I promise you that. But little things like that are just essential. On a much more serious note, but much more truthful time for us, this is a great quote, I think very fitting. God often lets us get into overwhelming situations that seem too big for us so we can see that nothing is too big for him. When Bob said this to me one day, sitting in my office, I knew that I was like, I got to write that down. Like, wait a minute, what was that? And one of our elders, Bob Davis, just in his just calm, gentle manner, just said, yeah, I found in my life, when I feel overwhelmed, is to help me to realize how big God is. There's a lot of these overwhelming situations for a lot of people these days. And maybe we can experience the truth that he's experienced, that God is bigger than our challenges and bigger than our problems. The second phrase or focus for today is the cross. The cross is so much more than just this place where Jesus passed, where Jesus sacrificed his life. It is that and so much more. But the cross represents how much God loves us. It's God's answer to evil. It's his judgment, his verdict that says no more. For my Spanish out there, no más, no more will this be your future. But it's in Jesus, through his sacrifice, by again the power of this cross and what he's done through this, that we have new life. A lot of times we don't understand the power of the cross. And so I found this quote that I hope encourages you. Before we can begin to see the cross as something done for us, we have to see it as something done by us. Mr. John Scott has some very profound words here. This cross is not easy to spend some time on. We have Easter Sunday this next week, and it's something that we're going to take some time to focus on. But the reality is the cross is because of us. The cross is because he couldn't imagine a heaven without you and without me. He loves you and me so very much. It's about us opening our hearts and throwing ourselves in the ocean of his grace and love and saying, Jesus, I want to know you. Like that. I want to give you my whole heart, my whole life. I want to surrender all to you. And so if it's something you've never done, I want to invite you to do that. If this is something that you can't even imagine, like wait a minute, I grew up in church, yeah, I'm fine. Just take this moment and recommit or surrender your life afresh and say, Lord, I need more of you. Forgive me for what I've done. Wash me, cleanse me, renew me, restore me. Help me be the person you imagined me becoming. The final word I want to leave with you is in the plural word, new creation. What does new creation mean? New creation is about our new life in Jesus. That Jesus rose from the dead in our time-space continuum, that when he rose from the dead on that Sunday, that first Easter morning, which not a lot of people knew about. We have this account of the women who come to this graveside, and the stone has been rolled away. And they hear from this messenger, from this angel from the Lord, saying, the living are not among the dead. They go and tell people, and they think people think they're crazy. This new creation began that first day, that Sunday. That's why we actually worship on Sunday mornings. The Sabbath is actually Friday night to Saturday evening. But early on in the church tradition, the first 100 years of Christianity, they started to worship and celebrate on the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Because he is our Sabbath. He is the one we rest in. And I want to invite you into living into that new creation right here, today, this morning, that you can experience that new creation. It starts with you just humbling yourself before him, and saying, Lord, help me live in step with you. I've shared this before. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Celebrate. Have a party in the Lord. That's really what Paul is saying here. And we should be known for our parties as Christians. We should be known for the joy that we have in our lives, not just the brokenness, not just what we stand against, but who we stand for, who's standing with us, and that's the Lord. I'm going to close this message with a song that's called Hold On by our praise band leader, Larry, and his wife, Kathy. In this time, in this moment, I want to invite you to just be present with the Lord. Let him remind you that we can hold on to him because he's already holding on to us. And then we will be joining back together afterwards to celebrate communion.